welcome to Barnyard Language. We are Katie and Arlene, an Iowa sheep farmer and an Ontario dairy farmer with six kids, two husbands, and a whole lot of chaos between us. So kick off your boots, reheat your coffee, and join us for some Barnyard Language, honest talk about running farms and raising families.
In case your kids haven't already learned all the swears from being in the barn, it might be a good idea to put on some headphones or turn down the volume. While many of our guests are professionals, they aren't your professionals. If you need personalized advice, consult your people. So today we are talking to Faith Bush, who's joining us from Saskatchewan. And Faith, we start each of our interviews with the same question. So this is our way, or your way, to introduce yourself to our listeners. And we always ask, what are you growing? So that covers crops, livestock, kids, businesses, and whatever else you want to cover. So what are you growing?
So it's funny you bring that up, because when I was talking to my hubby, I said, oh, we're a crop farm. He's like, we're a grain farm. We don't say crop farm in the agriculture business. And I was like, oh, I'm trying here.
Yeah, you're getting there.
So
you do grow crops.
Right, that's what I thought. Like, you grow crops, so is it not just a crop farm? Like, so grain farmers, and then I have five kiddos that are a blended family, and then I also have my own company, Stressed Out Mamas.
So what ages are the that group of kids that you're talking about?
So I've got 13, 9, 9, and 4-year-old twins. And you're probably wondering why I said 9 and 9. So we are a blended family. I have my two bonus boys that are 13 and 9. And then I have my daughter that my husband actually adopted. She's 9 as well. And they let everyone know they're not the Bush twins. They are 6 months apart.
Very clear.
Yeah. And then ironically enough, we ended up when we decided to have an us kid with twins.
Yeah. So you got lots of double ages.
Yes. I think we're the only blended family that can say that we only have 3 grads to go to or 3 hockey teams to attend. It is perfect.
Yeah, that's true. You're a big family, but you've doubled up some places there. So there's some efficiencies.
Yeah.
So what kinds of grains are you growing?
This will be fun. Okay, we grow canola, barley, wheat, and oats. And the reason I said it'll be fun is because my husband and I were just recently having the conversation with Seeding Up and Coming about a new crop rotation. And I thought I was going to hit it right on the mark. I was like, we should plant oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like,
what do you think of that?
Oatmeal, honey. I was like, yeah, like, don't you just like pick it off the like stem or the like the stalk? And you just like, and he's like, oh, honey. Oh, I just love you so much.
So I think that leads well into Katie's next question.
I feel like, in all fairness, here we would say that you're a row crop farmer. So I feel like you were pretty close. Also, please tell them that you want to plant corn chex and see how that goes over. Or honey puffs or something. You'll plant Cheerios next year, babe.
You're right.
Be a smart ass. So I don't want to say clearly you're not from a farm background, because that would be rude. But how has your adjustment been to this life?
It has been like a slap in the face. I now understand that when you come from the city, going out to the farm, you don't plant oatmeal. Like, it comes from oats and is then processed to oatmeal. But like, I thought we learned about farms. Like, Saskatchewan is a prairie province. Farming is like one of the staples. And I was like, I know nothing. Like, snap. So I have learned along the way. And my husband, I should also preface, he is a jokester. His whole family are jokesters. So very early on in the relationship, he made me believe that in Saskatchewan, we could burn snow. And I love your guys' reaction. You're just like, what? So
like,
wait.
Like, burn it as fuel, or like burn it to get it off the fields, or
all of the above? Like, So
I like your husband. I'm just gonna say it, like, not to throw you under the bus here, but he is one of us. You are clearly one of us, but he is also clearly one of us, because that sounds like something my husband would do.
Right. So he said how the story went was, in Saskatchewan, we don't burn snow because it affects cats' libidos. And we just have so much mice around that we would not want that to happen. So we need to have lots of cats so we don't have a lot of mice. But in Manitoba, and like further out that way, they burn snow all the time. And he was showing me videos, and I took it upon myself to blast Facebook and be like, I can't believe you Saskatchewan farmers don't burn snow. What is wrong with you guys? Who cares about cats' libido? We can take care of the mice problem a different way. And then my father-in-law called me. And he just asked me very politely, but very firmly, to remove the post. Now, I should also preface, he has taken on the RM Reeve here. So he's in contact with a lot of farmers. And I guess when I posted it, it was not many seconds later that they all had called him going, is she really that city? Like, we knew she was city, but she's that city. And he was just like, I don't understand, honey. Like, they don't teach you this stuff in the city? And I was like, well, I think it was how my husband just preferenced it. Like, he was very convincing. Like, I wouldn't know any difference. I thought it was a thing. So the farming culture has been quite a shock. People definitely like to take me for a ride sometimes because I'm just so like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And then they start to laugh after. I'm like, oh, you were joking.
In your defense, they're the ones who raised him to be that full of shit. So I really feel like this comes back on them. This is not on you. On the other hand, I feel like we need to make him some sort of trophy. Because seriously, the cat's libidos are like, that's some like next level shit talking right there. Like, that's impressive. That's not just like normal level shit talking. And in all fairness, I realized this morning I was trying to tell my kids about a platypus, and I realized that I tell them so much bullshit, and they're 4 and 6. That they don't believe that a platypus is a real thing. Because this is what happens when you raise your kids with this level of bullshit. They don't believe anything now.
Right. Well, and there's so many creatures that aren't real, right? Like, we tell them about unicorns and we put them on t-shirts and bedspreads and put them in TV shows, and that's not a real thing. So why would a platypus be real? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, it lays eggs, but it has fur, but it's wit. Like, it's all the things that shouldn't be a thing, and they're never going to see one.
Right.
Well, I think the other issue was that the girl child thought I was talking about an octopus, and she was like, no, mommy, they live in deep water. Like,
right. 8 legs. Come on.
This kid believes in unicorns, believes that they are real, does not believe in platypi. Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Anyway. Anyway.
But you just got to have fun in life. I think if you take it too serious, then, like, you just get this, like, grouchiness to you. So I am grateful that we can joke and stuff. And my father-in-law, like, this snow-burning thing, it was 6 years ago, and still random strangers come up to me. Oh, you're the snow-farming, snow-burning wife.
Yeah. If they're going to know you for something better, it should be something funny.
Right?
They could be like, you're the one who smells really bad, or you know, you're the one with the really bad attitude or something. Like, I'd rather be known for something funny.
Right?
Like, I found out a couple months ago that I am known at our local vet's office as the duck lady. And, like, of all the things I thought I'd be known for, that wasn't it. But I'm like, you know what? I'm okay with that.
Like, yeah, that's not the worst.
I'd rather be known as the duck lady than, oh, that fucking bitch. You know, right. Like, it could be a lot worse. So,
now, have you ever brought ducks into the vet clinic? Or it's just that you actually have ducks on the farm?
I cannot confirm or deny that I have actually brought a duck with an eye infection into our very serious large animal vet. And
that is fine. I don't want your duck to suffer.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, and now I know how to treat it.
It's probably cheaper than a farm call, right? Like, if they weren't already coming to the farm, you don't want to call them out for just a duck if there wasn't anything else happening.
No, totally. But I think this was 11 years ago, and they still call me the duck lady.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Whatever. Anyway.
But yeah, still not the worst thing you could be.
No.
So you mentioned that one of the things you're growing is a business. So can you tell us about what it's called? Because I love your name and why you started it. What was your inspiration?
So when I moved out to the farm, I realized that supporting local Canadian businesses just wasn't common. Amazon Prime, they get great shipping, fast shipping. And that's how people did it out here. And in the city, there are so many knick-knack shops of Canadian local made products that you could just go in. So I was really frustrated with that. So I decided after the twins, daycare just wasn't affordable for us anymore. I was like, no, I'm going to work to pay daycare. I'm just going to stay home. But I've always had that hustle mentality. And my husband was like, well, start your own business. I was like, yeah. It's just that simple. Start your own business. So we sat
out on the farm. No problem. Yeah.
Just, you know, and I was like,
you could have done custom snow burning. You should tell your father-in-law that that's your new business idea and see how far you can wind him up. He deserves it.
Oh my gosh. And I should like get a tractor and like put some stuff like, I don't know, blow dryers on it or something.
Well,
I'm
going to... They make flame weeders. Like, flame weeders are a serious thing. So just just mock up a business card. Let me know if you need help. Like, I am all in on this concept.
Oh, my God.
Cat reproductive
services. Katie's your first franchisee.
And custom snow burning. Absolutely.
Oh, that's going to be perfect. Oh, and it'll just get him going again. He's always like, Faith, shut up. Shut the fuck up. Don't say it in public anymore. And I'm like, but I just can't. It's just so perfect.
Everybody remembers it.
Right?
So
I think Faith is my new bestie. I'm just going to put it out there.
Okay. I've been replaced.
Oh, well, how about we just do a trio thing? I'm down.
Okay, that works. Yeah.
So we were sitting around the kitchen table and...
So you were just, I think it was right about the time you were saying you were sitting around the table talking about what kind of business. Yeah.
So I was sitting around the kitchen table with the kids and we were trying to come up with a business name. And my 13-year-old at the time would have been 11. And he goes, you're stressed all the time, Mom. And he's like, stressed out, Mom. Every mom is stressed, really, if you think about it. Y'all are batshit crazy. And my husband was sitting there going, in one, two, you're going to get your head chewed off. We're going to hear swearing. And he was just like, everyone was just like, oh, shit. He said it. And I was like, you know what? It's a great name. And
and you're not wrong.
Yeah, right? Everyone.
We are stressed.
Right? And I think it connects with so many people. And I've talked to lots of branding and lots of marketing people. And they're like, a lot of businesses don't lead with negativity, but you do. And I said, because it's true. We kind of don't want to talk about negative things, but they're there. And you can't see positive if you don't have a negative. So Stressed Out Mamas became my name. And then from there, I used to be a pamper box. So every month, you would get a pamper item. You get 6 items to pamper yourself with. Because I was on this crusade of being, I'm going to change the world. This is going to be perfect. And everyone was like, it is perfect, but not for long term. I feel guilty. And I'm like, what? No, no. I'm going to shove this down your throat. You're going to enjoy it. You have no fucking choice. This is what we're doing. And people are like, no, this is not what we're doing. So my business took a huge pivot. Now it is an essential motherhood kit. It comes with cooking, cleaning, home decor, and then just a tiny bit of pampering. So you still get to have that aspect in your life. Because the reality is, we want to say that we can pamper ourselves. We want to be able to spoil ourselves. but we just feel guilty. And that was never the intent of my business. It was to make motherhood easy and to make shopping Canadian businesses easy. It was never for guilt. So that's where my business has taken me. I've been in business now for 2 years. I just celebrated my anniversary January 4th. And it has just been so beautiful. But crazy enough, my number one subscriber is Ontario customers.
Very cool.
Where I'm based in Saskatchewan, and the pandemic took me to a couple online shows that Ontario just keeps loving me. And Saskatchewan is still like, we know you a snow burning person. I don't know if we can trust with the business yet.
I like that you were willing to be flexible though, right? Like not just like this is the way I see it and this is the way it's going to be, but actually listening to your clients and to your customers and realizing that they wanted something a little bit different from what you were offering. So that's a really, really good to know that you can adjust, right? Because sometimes people just get stuck in on, yeah, like you said, this is the way I see it. So this is the way it's going to be. But yeah, if I got pampering items, you know, that many every month, they would probably start to stockpile after a while. And you'd think like, well, I'm not getting through them, so maybe I'll cancel because, you know, like I've got lots to last me for a while. Right. So that's good that there's a bit of variety too.
I have to say too, as someone who's never been real good at relaxing, and certainly is not now with, you know, a full-time job and two little kids and a farm, that to me the most pampering, rewarding, relaxing thing at this point in my life is to be able to cross off all the little shit on my to-do list, all those little projects that just pile up. And it's just all that little shit, you know, when you like buy new shoelaces for somebody, but then they just sit there on the counter for 6 months because you're never going to like put it on your to-do list to change out shoelaces. And so to me, the idea of having a box that comes with like a nicer candle than I might normally buy for myself or like fancier cleaning products or whatever is much more the kind of self-care that I want and can like get into, because to me getting a pampering box that then goes wasted feels like, why the fuck don't I ever have any time for myself? And also, why am I wasting this money on this stuff that I'll never use? And also, now I just feel worse about the fact that I never take any time for myself and that I don't enjoy it when I do because I'm thinking about all the shoelaces and all that little shit that
do you have shoelaces currently on your counter, Katie?
No, but I did put insoles in two pairs of my husband's shoes this morning because they've been sitting on the counter for weeks.
Yeah. A little thing got done, right?
Okay, just going to do it.
Just do it.
So, Faith, also, Arlene and I were talking about how you should have a farm mom-based line, but then we realized that it would probably just be like earplugs, OxyClean, and whiskey, which I think is a totally valid box, personally. You could throw some, like, you know, livestock paint markers in there or something too.
Oh my god, yes.
Some heavyweight oil, something like that. But how do you pick the items that go into your boxes?
Yeah, so originally it used to be me vetting all of these Canadian companies and spending hours, and now because I have such a big name, I have companies coming to me. So I make sure there's always a cleaner and there's always a cooking product because I know for myself, like, it's a farm thing. I know it is. The oil and the grease and the crap that my husband comes home with on his clothes, I'm like, can we throw it out? Like, I don't even want to wash this. And he's like, no! I'm like, oh, fine. I'll wash the stupid thing. Or, like, the dirt that's in my house. I'm like, my family comes from the city. They're like, Faith, I don't understand, like, the dirt. It's different dirt. And I was like, it's farm dirt. Like, it's just there. It doesn't go away.
That's so, the thing too, when people are like, oh, I live in the city, oh my, I need to dust, and I'm like, this is not dust in my house, this is straight up, like, this is topsoil, this is not dust. Like, plus we live on a gravel road, like, it is dust, but it's also straight topsoil and cow shit, like,
right,
let's just embrace it, you know.
just embrace it. So like that was my thing. I was like, I always want to have a cleaning product that's going to be used and going to be heavy duty. I always want a cooking product because I'm always cooking. And with us having harvest and seeding, like we cook meals. I'm so gracious. My mother-in-law does not want to release the reins on that. She wants to die on that hill. And I'm going, good for you. I'm okay with that. So, but even cooking meals at home, like it's such a boring task. And before I started having children, I went to culinary school. I wanted to be a chef. I was super. And now I'm like, I fucking hate cooking. I don't know what to cook. Oh, fuck. I got to cook another meal today. Oh, could someone?
Why did they eat so often?
Right?
All day, every day.
And then Faith, this is proof that we really are like meant to be, because I also went to culinary school and spent the first like 20 years of my working life in restaurants.
Yeah.
And so now when I bitch about cooking, my husband's like, but you love cooking. And I'm like, you collect tractors. You love tractors. But this is like, if every day you went out and changed the oil three fucking times and everybody bitched about how they don't like how you changed the oil, but you never got to drive it. You never got to take it out of the shed. You just changed the fucking oil. This is not what I love about cooking. Making chicken nuggets 50 fucking times a day. Microwaving corn dogs is not why I went to school. Okay.
Exactly.
I don't want to cook. I don't want to eat the stuff that I would like to cook, because at this point I'm so tired that I'm not going to like cook a 4-course meal and then, you know, sit down and then clean up.
Right.
Couldn't nope. microwave a fucking corn dog.
Exactly.
Yeah, because when you were cooking, you had a dishwasher too, right? So you could make all the mess you wanted. And somebody it was got someone paid else's to job clean to clean up. It up.
Right. Yeah.
That's a whole different task.
And like, I find like trying to cook new food that I'm going to be interested in that the kids like, it's like banging my head on a wall. I'm like, I don't want chicken nuggets. Can we just try something different? And they're like, well, no, I want chicken nuggets. I'm like, fuck you then. Have your chicken nuggets. And I'm going to make my chicken nugget look pretty then. I don't know.
But garnish the shit out of those chicken nuggets, right? Faith. Just garnish the shit out of it. There you go.
It's got a drizzle. It's been tossed in something.
Give some little radish roses right there next to your nuggets. Plopped right there on top of the ranch.
Right? That was the staples of my box now. And that's how I pick them. Knowing that this product is going to be used. And what would be even better is if I introduced you to a cooking product or a cleaning product and you went, oh, I love this so much. I'm now going to buy from them directly, because now I've connected two people that probably would have never found each other, because a lot of Canadian businesses don't go on Amazon until they're big, big, big. But how do you get big when people don't know about you? It's such a weird concept to me that a lot of people don't know about people. And even for myself, the businesses I've come across, I'm like, how long have you been in business? Oh, I've been in business for like 10, 15 years. I'm like, oh. Well, that's cool. You know your shit.
Yeah. Yeah, and those little businesses that are maybe in like their local stores or a handful of grocery stores, you know, kind of like those small regional economies, but are, you know, maybe have online shops. But yeah, how do they then branch out and find new customers right outside of their area?
Yeah.
I hate to say too, like I use Amazon because I can get everything at one place. Like I would much rather support local places, but if I have to like order from one place and then order from another place and then keep track of all those packages, it just
and pay shipping on everything.
Yes.
Right?
It just, I don't want to deal with it.
So my eventual idea is to have a warehouse of cooking and cleaning products that you can try it out in the subscription, and if you love it, we can just create it again for you. That would be the ideal world, because exactly, I don't want to go to six different places. I don't have time. I really don't. I wish I could say I did, but I got a husband who's a farmer that I've got to run meals to or check on him, or I'm stuck, come get me. And then I've got kids going, well, I got sports in school. Are you going to come get me? Like, no, I don't have time for this shit. I just don't. And then all of my city friends are always like, well, Faith, you know, your house is looking so blah. Don't you have any, like, decor pieces that you set out every holiday? Or don't you, like, have just something new in your house? I'm like, I'll go to the fucking barn and grab some old wheels or something. I'll throw them in the house. You want that? Like, I don't have time to go shopping for house decor, you guys. Who does? Who's got that time? But people are like, well, why not? I don't understand. You're a stay-at-home mom now. And I'm like, no, no. No, it's way different. It's so different. So that's where the home decor piece had tied in, was I was so sick of people saying, well, you know, just look at Pinterest. You can go to the dollar store and get stuff. I'm like, I have time to create dollar store decor, you guys. I really don't care. I'm thinking about how I'm going to survive and cook the chicken fucking nuggets tonight. That's my plan.
I love, you may have seen on our Instagram, I posted, you know, we see all this farmhouse decor. Thank you, Chip and Joanna, of just white minimalist shit. And I posted a picture of our entryway with the literal, like, mountain of coats that is as tall as I am, and I am almost 6 feet tall. That's just like an avalanche. I mean, like, you know, no farmhouse magazine has come to feature my house recently. And then when people are like, this is my seasonal decor that I put out for 2 weeks before Halloween, and then I put it away. And I'm like, God bless you for having the energy, but how? Like, I know people with small children and jobs who do this, and, like, I legitimately don't understand how. You know, like, more power.
I have cobwebs, but yeah, they're seasonal. Like, actual spiders. That's good Halloween decor for me.
It's a little nature preserve right in the house, Arlene.
Yeah, for sure. So that, you already mentioned one of your future goals for the business. Do you have any other things that you're working towards, or things that you have in the back of your mind that you would like to see in the future?
I think just getting my name out there. So I have been kind of for 2 years that hidden secret, that hidden gem, because I was like, well, I'm a farmer's wife. And I've found, coming from the city, I'm very like, I'm gonna do me, you do you. You got the farm, good on you, but I'm going to do my thing. And people are like, no, you're a farm wife. Like, where do you get that mentality from? You got to fit into this farm wife box. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll try. And my husband's like, no, if I wanted that, I would have married somebody out here. I found you. I love you. And I'm like, thank you so much. Thank you. But my next year is just getting people to know who I am and knowing that I'm out here. And you don't have to be some high princess to have the decor in my box. You don't have to be somebody that's like, oh, I'm going to get a subscription and it's just going to be filled with shit. I can't stand subscription boxes that have shit in them, where it piles up, like you guys were saying. It piles up, then you feel guilty that it's piled up because you're not spending time on yourself. No, I want this stuff to be used in a month. And if it takes you longer to use, it means that you don't like it. Get rid of it. If you pass it along to the next person, if you like it, you're going to use it real quick. So that's where my goals are, just getting people to know I'm here. Sadly, I'm only going to be focusing on Canada. So my U.S. ladies, I have a lot of them like, hey, what about us? And I'm going, oh, it's so logistical issues right now. I'm not even going to be touching that for many years to come. So I'm going to focus here on Canada and really get people to know that I'm here, and I'm here to support the motherhood journey, not make it more stressful.
So, off topic, how did you and your husband meet?
Well, I'm going to be honest, because honesty is the best policy. We lied to everyone in our life. We said that we met at an auction house, which is kind of true. After I had my daughter, her sperm donor and I had split. And I use the word sperm donor because he truly is a piece of work. Very toxic and abusive. So I was like, I'm not dating anyone. And my mother is, again, another toxic person in my life. So she's jumped from small town to small town. So I've always kind of had that small town feel to me. And I've kept in contact with a lot of my friends. And they went, we're going to put you on a website called Farmers Only. You heard of it.
Katie met her husband on Farmers Only.
Went on my first
date. I think
date
you guys are twins.
Literally the day after he told his parents he was never getting married, he was never having kids, nothing. We went on 6 dates in 7 days. We were engaged 3 months later. Yeah.
Right?
Okay, obviously.
So my friends had put me on there, and they had paid for a month. And they said, if you want to keep after a month, it's on you. And I was like, fuck that. I'm not paying to fucking meet a guy. Like, what the fuck? So 2 days before my account was going to expire, and I had only met U.S. farmers. It was very few and far in between Canadian ones. And if they were, they were in Alberta. And I was like, ugh, I don't know if I can move from my family. I'm so close to them. So I had met Devin. And in 2 days, like, I really was like, I don't even want to date. I really have no interest in this. Well, 2 days, I said, hi, my name is Faith. And he's like, where do you work? I work at an auction house. And then it expired. And I don't know why he thought this is the one. And he stalked the shit out of me to find out the auction house I was at. And then proceeded to come to the auction house and was like, oh, you know who I am? Do I know who you are?
Should I?
Should I know who you are? And then, like, after that, he was so persistent and, like, so smitten by me. And I was like, yeah, you're so cute. But I'm a city girl. Can you move your farm closer? Like, what? And he's like,
yeah, no. Does that work?
And ironically enough, he was just coming out of a marriage. He has had a very toxic marriage. They were, you know, high school dating. Oh, we live in a small town. You'll never find anybody. Let's just make it work. And yeah, he had just come out of that marriage and we had met. She had been moved out for a couple of weeks. They had split a year before, but when it comes to fathers and parenting, it becomes very toxic. Sadly, a lot of mothers will take the children away, or you're on a farm while I'm going to the city kind of thing. So they had split before. He wanted to keep them home for harvest and then after harvest. So this was November when we had met. And I didn't understand when we had met why everyone around us was like, wow, she's a harlot. She's the one that split this marriage up. She's this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And it's because they were just such a private farm. They don't talk about anything. So he's like, do you mind if we lie how we met? And I was like, I'm okay with that. Cause I think people might think we're really fucked up if we go, hey, I met on Farmers Only, but I know nothing about farms. And I'm so naive that you can like bullshit your way on anything with a farm. And he's like, yeah, let's just like keep it on the down low. So we've never told anyone that we met on Farmers Only, but like, I gave them a raving review saying I met my husband and I would highly recommend the site to anyone that wants to get into the farming community.
Arlene, we should get them to sponsor us because I think, didn't we have another guest who met their spouse on Farmers Only?
Yeah, Andy Cajun.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, he and his wife met on there too.
We should get their notes though and see how many farmers we matched with in common, Faith, and see. There's
yeah, if there was some crossover in the years you were on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's how we met. We met at Farmers Only, and I just think it's so funny because I have no farming background. I just thought it would be a great way to raise kids. It was more simplistic life than having the busy hustle and bustle of the city. That was the only reason I was like, maybe a farmer would be good for me.
So one of the reasons that we started the podcast was the isolation after becoming parents. And I'm wondering what your transition to motherhood was like, and especially, you know, going from having one kid, right? Two kids?
Yeah, I had one. I had one, he had two. So it was okay. Motherhood transition from one to three. But it was also the transition of going from a severely abusive relationship to a normal relationship. So my first bit of motherhood was just so weird. I didn't know how to do it. I was also, I'm a lot younger than my husband. I'm 7 years younger. So everyone's like, oh, she's such a baby. She's such a child. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? If I can have a child, I'm not a child. Like, I'm mature enough to make the decision to move 2 hours away from my family. But it's been interesting because when I was a mother with my first, I was surrounded by family. It was so unique in the city where you had mom and baby groups, you had pregnancy groups, you had this group, you had that group. When you move rural, there is nothing. You are stuck in a house with a baby trying to figure it out. And in Canada here, it's because my husband is such a large farmer, we counted the one day. He's taken over 20 farms. So all those farmyards that used to be around that people would get together, there's not that anymore. There's one. So it is so different coming into this situation of the transition of city life to farm life. And I understand the struggles and I understand why people are like, this is fucked up. But how do you fix it? It's an interesting dynamic. And then when we had our twins, I was supposed to be in the hospital due to the type they are. So they share one sac, one placenta. So basically the most high-risk twins we could have gotten, we got. And it was the realization of driving 2 hours for an appointment. It was like, oh my gosh, this is stupid. And then all of a sudden them going, you can't be on the farm anymore. You have to be in the city. Going, why? Because it's going to take us an hour to get you to a hospital. And I was like, why? Like, can't you just figure this out quicker? Like, I'm not moving to the city. So when I transitioned to having the twins at home, I didn't have a lot of family support because they're 2 hours away. I didn't have a lot of the systems in place because it's 2 hours away. And when you try to start something, there might only be one other pregnant person or one other person with a little one on mat leave because there's not a lot of us out here. So that isolation is just so different out here than in the city.
I found too that once my kids started school, you know, like same with going into town to go to any sort of baby or child groups, but the friends I made lived, you know, 20 miles on the other side of town. And with little ones in a place that has winter and there's no spontaneous way to do anything. You know, you have to plan a month ahead and then just pray that nobody gets sick or it doesn't storm or, you know, and God forbid if your kids don't like, aren't besties, then you're like forcing them to play together. Mm-hmm. And it's been such a great transition now that they're in school and I've like met other parents who live, you know, like in town and we're already in town because we have to get the kids from school, you know? And so we can just be like, hey, you want to have pizza? You know, why don't we come over? You can come over to our house and we can let our kids destroy the house and we can eat pizza and ignore them, you know, which is generally my parenting strategy, you know, but it's such, I had not realized how lonely I was to just have friends that I could just hang out with instead of having to like plan this whole fucking elaborate thing to see another adult human for an hour.
You know? Right.
It's just,
And when the kids are little, you're also managing, you know, when they're going to fall asleep. And if you're driving half an hour to go to someone's house, like, are they going to fall asleep on the way there or 2 minutes before you pull in the driveway? And then, yeah, if they spend the whole time screaming, it's not very relaxing or fun for anybody.
Right.
Yeah, all that coordination is challenging. And I imagine with twins is even worse.
Yeah, it is. It's different being like having singles and then going to the twins. It was like, so when my daughter, she's a girl, when I found out I was having twins, I was like, please be girls, please be girls. What the hell am I going to do with a penis? How am I going to clean it? What am I going to do with it? I'm freaking out. I don't want boys. And my husband was like, I don't want girls. I don't know what to do with girls. And ours are identical. So we were either two girls or two boys. And the one thing I do appreciate with my husband is he is so supportive with the twins because, and I'm just so such of a I'm not giving up type. I'm going to make my life hell before I give up. So I was carrying two little babies to the hockey rink with two kids behind me with their hockey equipment going to the dressing room to get everyone done up. Because at that time, the farm just needed his attention more. And I was like, I don't care. I'm going out. I don't care. So I can see where, but also in the same breath, I've held myself back. I never went to the swimming pool. I was like, how the fuck am I going to swim with two babies? This does not sound enjoyable at all. Or when it came to chores, we do have chickens. I don't really consider them livestock because the amount of eggs they produce, we eat in a day. So, like, there's no selling there. We've had people, oh, do you sell eggs? No. No, we eat our eggs. And then we've also had, like, butchering chickens or our turkeys that we butchered. But, like, trying to get them to come with me to the barn to feed and water, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is painful. So he would come up with little systems. He would get them their own little special pail, and half the eggs would break on the way home. But at least they were doing something. And he's like, at least you're out. And I'm like, yeah. Or his picture on his Facebook is all seven of us in a Fendt combine. It's tight. It is nice and tight as tight can be, but we do it. And it's interesting that most men are like, you're fucked, Devin. Why? Why do you have everyone in there? How do you get anything done? And I'm like, but we did this when we first started dating. Can't we continue? And it's so beautiful that we still do. But the kids now are getting to the age, like the 13-year-old, he's the size of me. He's a big boy. So it's like having three adults and four children. So now, because we have workers, they usually try and take a couple from us. And the kids are like, yes, I'll go with you. I don't care. But it's so beautiful to see how we
try. I can breathe.
Yeah.
We have a hired guy who's like our four-year-old's bestie. Like, our son is so obsessed, and it's amazing. Because, yeah, like, we take him out, and it's just a hellscape. You know, he goes to Solus, and, like, he's actually helpful when Solus is here. Fine. Try not to take it personally.
Right? And that's the key word. You try not to take it personal. It's hard. It's like, what the fuck? They were sat with you and they didn't scream the whole time? They scream with us? What?
Yeah. So you've talked about being a blended family. How has that transition gone for the on the kid level? And, you know, like how, you know, like two from different families who are now in the same family and the same age, and then the transition to having new baby siblings, all that kind of stuff. So how has the... how has the kid dynamic gone in your house?
It's been interesting. I've come from a blended family. So my mom and dad split before I was even born. So I've always kind of had that step parent in my life. And then with my grandparents, they also, so my mother was adopted, which this is a crazy story. So she's adopted. She has adopted parents and biological parents. Well, the adopted parents decided to split. So I have three sets of grandparents on one side, but they all blend so beautifully. Like, they're always at every birthday. They're always at every function. I would be like, grandma, and all three of my grandmas would look at me, and I'm like, grandma one, grandma two, grandma three. So that's how I pictured it coming into this situation. And it's a very high conflict situation. So I have really taken the opportunity to allow the boys to come to me. It wasn't, I'm your mom, you need to love me. It was, I'm just a friend. And I've been where you are with high conflict parents. I've been where you are where it's shitty. Let's just hang out. And that bond that grew was just so beautiful. And with my daughter, Devin met her when she was two. She has no recollection of her sperm donor. So she just assumed we were religious. So we said, oh, God gave you a mommy and just waited to give you a daddy. Well, that kind of came to a head in grade, well, last year. So they were eight and the word adoption came out. And it was just like, ooh. And it was they were using it in a negative word term. So she was like, well, is adoption bad? And we're like, nope, it's not bad at all. But let's try and unpack this. So she refuses to say adoption. That's her dad. This is her family. Now, the boys, because of the toxicity of the parents, they have had resilience to her. They don't know how to treat her. And the teachers have really said when they're with dad, that's sister. When they're with mom, it's not. So the kids have even learned how to pivot so seamlessly that it just looks normal now. And when parents look at a blended family and say, oh, I want it to be better, or oh, the kids are suffering, oh, this, they're very adaptive. And our family has been so adaptive to so many different things where I've gone, I hate this. I don't like how we're toxic, or I don't like how this is happening, but I can't change anyone. And it's hard when you're in a blended family to be like, I'm going to change everything. So that's been interesting. And then when it came to our twins, I was put on bed rest super early. And my kids were just like, Mom, you do it all. Like, come on, let's go play outside. And I'm like, I can't. I'll sit and watch you. And then the twins were in the NICU. So I was gone for 6 weeks where it was just dad. And again, my kids really struggled because I was always the boy support. I was always that constant parent. I was always there. And then having that taken away, they were through a loop again. So now the twins are four, and we're finally getting back to that seamless parenting. But I think in any blended family, you're going to have highs and you're going to have lows, and it's okay. And I think people don't say that enough, that it's okay. It's either one or the
I
other.
think
It's going to be good or it's going to be bad. You can't have both.
so much of blended families is parents getting over their fear that somebody else is going to take their place. As a child of a single parent family, I'm a huge believer in the more people who love your kids, the better. And I'm sure I would feel differently if there was another woman coming in to raise my kids. But
Oh, yeah.
I think ideally, the more people who love and support your family, the better. And whether that person is biological family or, even maybe especially folks who aren't part of that family dynamic, that the more adults who are looking out for your kids, the better. There are never going to be too many people loving your kid. And that's what that is. And, anyone who's threatened by that needs to go to therapy and work out their own shit, because that's about you and not about those kids.
Yes. And I used to take it so personal with my boys. Well, they won't call me mom, but they call their stepdad dad. Well, I learned it was because it was forced. Now, the boys, which I'll get teary-eyed, I'm a big believer in counseling and therapy. I forced his ex-wife and me and my husband and her husband to sit in a room together for a whole year and a half of painstaking counseling that got us nowhere. But everyone was like, why are we doing this? And I was like, because it'll make us better. It did not, but we tried. But my sons refer to me in counseling as mom. They won't say it to my face. Heaven forbid it leaves that room, but they see it. And I understand why you would feel threatened, why somebody else is now, because my husband says it all the time. It pisses me off that they call their stepdad dad. Like it should be stepdad. And I said, how hard is it to say stepdad? He's like, well, what do you mean? I was like, it's two syllables. Step dad. Dad. I'm yelling. I'm saying one. He's like, oh, I get it. Right?
I think too, even if the therapy doesn't immediately feel like it helps, your kids see that you are trying, and that helps. That is worth it, whether it fixes anything or not, because they're seeing how we treat each other and how to deal with people they might not like. and how to do what's best for the family, even if they don't want to, and even if that person is a pain in their ass. And, you know, there is a level of respect we give people, even if they don't deserve it, because they are humans, and especially if we share children, that we act like fucking grown-ups.
Yeah. Because
I will admit that people who use their children as leverage, I think we should probably set them on fire. I don't feel like that's too strong, you know. I'm just gonna go ahead and say it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever your fucking problems are with each other, fine. Like, go to town on hating each other. I don't care. Leave your kids out of it.
Yeah.
That's...
And I think you have two social media parents. I always find you have the social media parents that are perfect co-parents, and we sit together at hockey games and we do this and we do everything together, and then you have the other ones that are like, this is horrific and my kids are traumatized. It's okay to be in the middle. I can say hi to my husband's ex-wife. I can say hi, how are you, and continue on my way. Do we sit and talk? No. Do my twins go up to her? Yeah. My daughter went up to her because she's in their life, whether I like it or not. And the only issue I ever had was where she blurred the lines a little of my boundaries. But that's going to happen because we're two different people. And the children saw that I held firm on my boundaries. And now they set boundaries, which I appreciate. Sometimes I'm like, the fuck kind of boundary is that? And then I have to stop and go, oh, wait, I set boundaries with you. Okay, fine, you can have your stupid boundary. But, like...
It's really fucking hard when your kids start setting boundaries with you. Because I'm like, let's teach our kids about consent and bodily autonomy. And I'm like, I didn't fucking mean me. If I want to hug you and you don't want to hug, I still get to hug you. And they're like, no. Fuck you. Like, I made you. Now I have to go respect your boundaries because I'm the one who told you to have them. And now, you know, it doesn't really set a good boundary to be like, well, have boundaries except if the other person really wants you to do whatever. And then,
right.
And then you should just let them do whatever. That's kind of the point.
And like my bonus points, I'm very affectionate and I'm very affectionate to my daughters. And they were like, why aren't you affectionate to me? And I was like, oh, I can definitely hug and kiss you. Well, no, I don't want you to. I just been asking. And I looked at my daughter's like, do you like how I hug and kiss you and smother you? She's like, not really. I was like, oh. Why did we open this can of worms? Everyone shut up. You're doing this. I was like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm hugging everybody.
Has to be the same.
Don't right? just don't mention it.
So I think when it comes to blended families, just acknowledging there's highs and lows, and it's okay to be in the middle. And when it comes to farming, being the second wife is hard, and it's okay to say it's hard, and navigating that has been very interesting, and I'm excited to see where my life takes me. But I'm also very much of a, you want to die on that hill? You die on it, because guess what? In 40 years, you're going to be dead anyways, so I'll have to cook a meal. Sorry. That's how I always look at it.
I'm sure, too. I clearly did not read this question the way that Arlene meant it to be read, because it says, you know, how do you and your partner manage the adult relationships? And I was like, well, I mean, they have twins, Arlene, so I'm guessing they manage them just fine. Get a little...
Yeah, that's not what I meant,
Kitty.
Get a
little Kitty. Personal here. But I'm sure, too, it's got to be a real challenge to marry... I mean, because the fucked up part about marrying into a farm when you're coming from outside is that you marry into a whole community. And when you're the second wife of somebody who married their high school sweetheart, and presumably you all still live in this little tiny place.
Yep.
How fucked up is that?
Uh-huh. Did you hear her voice?
Yeah.
And that you're marrying into a business, which I'm sure we don't have to remind you either. But, you know, the whole farm aspect, I'm sure, is a whole different dynamic that, you know, adds levels of complication to it.
And I always thought of farmers as, like, this is going to sound so city, but we all know that I'm that city girl, like, on the TV, right? Like, you're a little farm, you're chugging away in your tractor. And now I'm like, oh, yeah, you chug away on your tractor, but you also have a multi-billion-dollar piece of equipment and, like, all of these things. And, holy, you're not just a farm, eh? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm still a farmer. I'm like, you have employees, honey. You're incorporated. You are a farm, but you're a big farm. And he's like, ah, you know. So when I came into the picture, I was met with a prenup. And I was like, the fuck kind of bitch you think I am? And we were not going to get engaged until that prenup was signed. And so we were together for 5 years before we got married. And it wasn't because of the prenup. It was because he was terrified about what would happen. Because he knew his parents had said, if you're going to get engaged again, you need to have a prenup. And he was like, Faith's going to kill me. She's not going to be happy with this. Like, I don't even want to approach this subject. And I looked at him. I said, yeah, I'll sign it. And he went, what? He's like, are you fucking with me? You're fucking with me, right? Like, this is too easy. And I was like, yeah, I don't care. If we leave, I just ask that I get the clothes on my back and a vehicle to drive, please. And that's it. And he was like, okay. And when it came to farming and blending a family, I asked my husband this question the other day. And you know what? It's funny you say that, because he was like, are they meeting sexually? Like, do they want to know how we keep it alive during harvest?
I'm glad that wasn't just me, because I was like, Arlene, Christ. Like, I know we get personal on this show, but I feel like that might be too far even for us. Even for me, Arlene is much more ladylike than I am.
I was definitely talking about the grown-ups who are like the parents of all the children.
I'm glad it wasn't
not
just
the interpersonal marriage relationships.
The maritals.
He definitely he told me to lie because we don't do this. He's like, well, tell everyone that you know those vibrators that you can control from your phone so that when you're in the tractor you guys can still. I was like, honey, I don't think that's the question they're asking. I think they're asking of, like, how do we deal with our emotional problems? He's like, no, that's exactly where this question is going. You got to tell everyone this is how great our sex life is, so everyone just follows through. And I was like,
like, it's real wild, but in a normal
that's a
way.
Whole other subscription
like,
box.
I was like, wow, honey, like,
damn,
I don't think that's where we're going. So I'm gonna have to tell him.
Is that in the Valentine's Day subscription box?
Right.
It's a stress relief box right there, Arlene.
Right. And ironically enough, our twins were conceived in May. So, like, everyone swears up and down in a tractor. And I'm like, no, actually, it probably was a rain day, you guys. And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, there are rain days. And I'm not that person in a tractor yet. He's I don't know if this is a farmer thing, but he's like, we need to, and before I die, it has to happen. I'm like, why? Like, why?
Well, I mean, if there's room for seven of you in that combine, there's room for that. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's clearly spacious.
And he said, well, why do you think there's autopilot now? And I was like, really? That's why? Like, and he's like, oh, honey. And I was like, oh, I thought all you farmers were like, this is why we create autopilot in our combines and tractors.
This is
get
why
the
you
scientists
gotta move,
on that.
You got to move to places where you have rows that are, you know, a couple miles long so you can really.
Yeah.
You got short rows. You got, oh my God, this is. Yeah, even for us, this is getting out of
But.
All right. So we're going to go back to the twin talk.
Yeah.
Because
so when it comes to adults, I don't think we deal with it very well. We deal with it with humor. We deal with it knowing that this is the person that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. Whether I like him today or I don't like him tomorrow, this is it. And for us, knowing that this is it, we just have to work on our shit. There's lots of times where he's like, I'm just going to sweep it under the rug. And I'm like, sure. But just remember, 6 months from now, I'm pulling that fucker up and we're going to look. He's like, no. Or being your husband's shield. Like, I am so an overbearing woman to him. And when it comes to, we're in the process of farm succession planning and with his ex-wife in court, I was always like, I gotta be your shield. I'm gonna defend you. I'm gonna be overpowering. And then he's like, are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm like, oh yeah, you have a voice. Oh yeah. I forgot
about did you ask for me to do that?
Miko, are you still here?
Right. Oh, I'm just defending you, whether you like it or not.
Right.
So that would be my advice when it comes to parenting, is just knowing that you're going to be there forever. And even if you're not, things happen, and that's okay. But don't think about the end. Think about the middle.
So, Faith, I'm going to add a question in here, because I feel like we know each other well enough now.
Yeah.
Go ahead. And something that I've really struggled with is that if you're a person who prefers to look on the lighter side of things and to have fun, people don't take you seriously.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, especially in rural living, if you joke about things, if you dye your hair funny colors, if you're wearing seafoam green glasses, not that we're talking about anyone in particular, you know, if you are silly, mm-hmm. people, there's such an assumption that you don't understand serious topics, that you are not capable of being serious, that you can't possibly understand money or hard things or business or being an adult, because you cannot wear ironic t-shirts and be an adult at the same time. It's not possible.
Uh-huh.
I'm wondering what your experience has been like with this, because I know for myself, kind of the more I've embraced it, the easier it's been to just be like, people want to underestimate me. Fine. But it is such a fine line of like when to throw down with the fact that I am a fucking grown up, but also like I deal with a lot of hard shit and I prefer to deal with it by making fun of it, because otherwise it would just be really goddamn depressing. So I'm wondering, I get the sense that you were perhaps samesies on this, as yeah. in so many other ways.
I think we're just like two of the same people just living not in the same town.
Yeah. It's probably just as well that we live so far apart, because I have the feeling that if we lived in the same town, it would probably implode. Like, we would need bail money so fast.
Yeah, so like for myself, being a business owner now, I've had to change my own identity. I was always a mom of five. Always a mom of five. Well, you're a stay-at-home mom. You're a farmer's wife. And now I go, I own my own company. Oh, is it like one of those MLMs? No, I own my own company. I come up with my own shit. And I recently actually pitched my company to a panel of people, got two mentors out of it, more than two, like a handful. And they looked at me and said, and I was like, you take me serious? And they were like, is this part of your pitch? Are you like, and I was like, yeah, because I'm always the mom that can change the diaper, the mom that can tell you about feeding, the mom that can this. And they're like, I see you as a businesswoman. So even in my own dynamic of family, a lot of my family still don't take my business serious. And I've just learned to say, you know what? Watch what'll happen. My business has now been able to grow to the size that my twins are in daycare. That was never the plan. They were going to be home with me until they were in grade one. Now I'm like, no, I can do this. Or when it comes to sexuality, I'm quite open. And out in the rural community, they're like, shh, Faith, we don't talk about that. And I'm like, why? Well, like, why are we shy about it? It's a, like, that's how kids are made. That's how people stay connected. And I'm so grateful for my husband, because there are so many times where he is blushing red, or he is going, you know what, honey, be you. I'm happy of you. I've got to talk to landowners of his, land renters. So he rents land from a lot of people, that some people, some women aren't even able to talk to them. And they're like, Faith, how do you talk to them? I'm like, I don't know. Because it, the respect is given and taken. And they're normal people. And people are always like, I just don't get it. And it's, I struggle. There's many days where I'm like, maybe I should just be the farmer's wife. There would be less rumors. There'd be less talk. There would be less. And my husband looks and says, I don't think I'd be happy. And my kids, they always tell me, you know, Mom, I can always tell when you're in the room, when you're in the school, because you're snort of a laugh, you're loud, and they enjoy it. So on the hard days, I let them be hard. And I sit in the shower and I cry. But when I'm done, I put on my seafoam glasses and I go, this is who I am. You're going to take it or you're going to leave it. And I wish I would have learned this lesson in high school. Why did I have to wait till I got closer to my 30s? Like, that's bullshit.
That imposter syndrome and that having enough self-confidence to just tell people to fuck around and find out. I do a lot of community activity stuff, and I'm on our local daycare board, and we had an older male member mansplaining the concept of salary to all of us, you know, little ladies. And I finally sent an email that started with respectfully and went downhill pretty sharply for me. Because I am 41 years old. I'm a grown-ass adult. I work for Microsoft. I understand the concept of salary. Thank you. And, you know, if you assume that I'm flighty and stupid because my hair is a funny color, that's on you. Yeah. That has nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's being able to model that for my kids and for other adults, because it gives other people permission to talk about hard things and to be who they are when somebody else has already just gone ahead and done it. Because I know, like, we dealt with fertility problems, and so many people are like, we had these problems too, but we didn't talk about them. And I'm like, I did not cause these problems. This is not anything that I need to be ashamed of. I did not do anything wrong. Uh-huh. You know, like, I finally told the doctor one time, I was like, it's not like I was like doing coke off the back of a toilet in Vegas and it made me infertile. Like, my body just doesn't work right. Like, what the fuck am I supposed to be ashamed about? And then, you know, like, I ended up with gestational diabetes, and I had people saying, well, you're so brave for admitting to it. And I'm like, to the fact that my body's too efficient? Like,
what the fuck?
I've done shit I should actually be ashamed of. I only have enough shame for the things I've actually done. Like, I'm not going to bother being ashamed of all this shit.
Let's not start adding shame to our bodies when they're just doing their thing, right? And there's a test that we all take to see if we have that, right? Like, so that means it's pretty common.
Yeah.
If they're testing every pregnant person
like,
to find out if they have gestational diabetes, that means lots of us have it. Yeah.
You know? We have generations of shame. I don't need to be ashamed of shit I didn't actually do.
Let's not take on more.
Anyway, yes.
Add this to the shame pile.
And I also...
Shame Mountain. Yes. It's like the Laundry Mountain.
Yes.
But
and figure should... Faith, idea. You should make a, like, shame box that should include a shame bingo card that would just be like, shit you should probably be ashamed of, and
yes.
Just give us new ideas for new shit to be worried about.
Or cross out all the things that you don't need to be ashamed of.
And then we'll just
full board. I also found owning that I'm a business owner. Yeah. Women don't like to lead with that. I'm a mom, I'm a wife, and a business owner. Well, it would have been 6 months ago. I'm a business owner, and my business allows me to have my children home with me half time. And people are like, what do you mean it allows you? Because I have a job that I've created, and it's stability enough that I get to do what I want. And then it's, oh, it must be an MLM. No, it's not. I came up with the ideas. I do all my own things. It is me 100%. And I love when a sales guy comes out to pitch some idea to the farm, and he goes, oh, your wife is here. How's cooking and cleaning? And I'm like, great. I create a whole business around it. Would you like to hear? And then they just kind of choke on their words.
I feel like the one upside of the pandemic for me is that because it's unusual to work remotely out here, that it's become enough more common that people don't assume that I work for some total scam anymore. Because I still get people who are like, so you do sales calls? And like, no. Like, no, it's a real thing, but
yeah, it's okay. It's an actual job. I'm not selling Microsoft computers.
I'm not customer service.
Which, right?
I mean, God bless the fact that there are people who can do customer service and not like end anyone. But I am very incredibly lucky to not be in a customer facing role. Let's put it that way.
It would be much harder to record a podcast, for one thing.
Okay.
So we are going to loop back to a couple more parenting questions before we get into our cussing and discussing. Not that we haven't done enough cussing and discussing already. But what is your favorite thing about raising kids on the farm?
Having their freedom. I don't have to worry. I just kind of giggled in my head. Sorry. I don't have to worry about someone coming and picking up my kids. I don't have to worry about strangers. Yes, they learn stranger danger, but I can let them go and play in my yard and I can do the dishes. And I enjoy that so much. And the reason I giggled in my head was because one of our farm renters had come to the house and my daughter was 4 and jumped in his truck and they just took off. And he called me. He's like, oh my God, I'm alone with your daughter. I apologize. And I was like, I trust you. But I was like, she just got in with you? And he's like, yeah, she was. I told her I was going over to the burn pile and she just was like, can I come? But just that freedom that they can just run and be silly and stupid and I don't have to micromanage them is just a beautiful feeling.
Mm-hmm. What's your biggest parenting challenge when it comes to farm life, specifically around having kids on the farm? Because, I mean, we all know there's lots of benefits, but I mean, we know too that it's it's a hard life too.
Support. That support is crazy. And not having as close-knit support systems is challenging. Like now that we have 3 kids and three different hockey teams to run after, there's one that always kind of gets left to the sideline because we're only 2 of us. And knowing that you want to do it all. And when you have 5 kiddos, there's one of you. And sometimes the farm comes first. That was definitely like a smack in the face. I was like, pardon me? You mean that your child is puking sick and you still have to go and seed? No, you can take the fucking time off because your child is puking sick. And it wasn't that case. It was, no, I need to do this right now. I can't come. So those farming aspects, they were just kind of like, oh, well, I never thought of those. I never thought those would even like cross my path. And they have.
Yeah, that farm coming first thing is... it's a hard one, especially when you've got little kids and you feel, you know, already overwhelmed. And then the person who's supposed to be your partner is like, well, good luck with that. I've got to go.
I've got to go. And my grandmother, my adopted grandparents, when they were together, they were on a farm. So I'm gracious that I can call her and be like, oh, I fucking hate this. And she's like, just remember, I lived with an alcoholic farmer. So you have a sober one. Be happy. And I'm like, the fuck, grandma, let me bitch. And she's like, I will. But you need to keep perspective.
I'll say, Faith, that we're more than 60 episodes in, and I don't think we've had a single person not say that the farm coming first wasn't a hard thing for them. Even all the folks we've had on who grew up on farms, that this is what they've done their whole life, every single one of them has said that this farm coming first is a fucking challenge, which has been helpful to me because that's like the great unspoken guilt yet is, you know, how can you be angry about this?
Right.
And I think so much of it too is that people are like, well, the farm provides. I'm like, I don't know what kind of money you people are making from the farm, but no, it doesn't. I know the Canadian farm economy is a little better than the American farm economy, maybe, but there's a reason we both work full time off farm, and it's not because the farm pays so well. You know, it's not that we just have nothing better to do.
And I think, and I also like the guilt. My husband, because I am such a mental health person, I dig deep with him when he's like, okay, I'm done digging. Fuck off. But knowing that he has shame, that he wants to be a farmer. This is what he was raised for. He is the firstborn son. This was bred into him. He feels shame when he has to say, the farm comes first. I'm sorry. Like when the twins were first born, there was many times where he said the farm comes first. And I was devastated. I was like, I just need you now. And he's like, do you need me or do you want me? And I was like, I hate that fucking question. He knows now, like 4 years in, he doesn't even ask me it. I will be like, he'll stop and he'll be like, so do you? And I'm like, I will fucking throat punch you. Don't say it. Because there's lots of times where we want our farmer home, but we don't need him. And just knowing that if it were to come, and this is just with mine, if it were to come to life or death, he would be there. It would not be a question. But if I can mentally struggle through it, on his off days, he will pick up the slack. And I'm gracious for that. But knowing the farm comes first was very difficult, very difficult. And I don't think there's a way to get over it. Like, I don't think there's like some magic, maybe we can create that, you guys, a magic pill that just makes you okay with it.
I'd love to know what it is, because even for those of us, I think, where we were actively farming, you know, before we met our husbands, with our husbands, whatever, that it's still, the minute you add kids, it's just, you know.
Kids throws a whole wrench in the plan. They just throw wrenches left, right, and center, and you've got to catch those wrenches or they're smacking you in the face, leaving big welts.
Seriously. Having kids is like that scene in Dodgeball, you know, where the old coach dude is just chucking wrenches at people. That is a lot what it's like right there.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
So, I've made watch that movie because I don't understand why I'll be like, I'll throw a fucking wrench at you and you better dodge it. And they're like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, okay, we're watching the movie.
I feel a little bad about how often I quote Super Troopers at my kids. Knowing how long it's going to be before I will feel okay about letting them watch it. Because even I am not going to let a 4-year-old watch that movie.
Yeah.
He totally wouldn't get any of the inappropriate content.
No.
Anyway. So we ask all of our guests, if you were going to dominate a category at County Fair, what would it be? And categories can be real or made up.
Okay, I have to say it. I think I would dominate it 100%. How to have a spicy sex life in the farm.
I'm just...
but not in the tractor, I'm obviously.
Picturing what the... I'm just picturing, you know, you take your family to state fair and there's like butter cow, jams and jellies, flowers... Faith sex talk.
There's maybe a curtain or something. Yeah. Over 18 only.
Over 18, a big dark curtain that says, want to talk about how to maintain your farmer? Oh my gosh.
Faith is behind this curtain.
Would it be in like the sales building, you know, where they have like the weird gadgets and shit? And yeah. There's like the cookware and.
Yeah, right.
Toys, or like.
Yeah.
She could have a double booth, like, you know, like the subscription box in the front and then, yeah, the yeah. adult content in the back.
Because, like,
that is a whole new answer for us.
Yeah. You guys are just like, I wasn't expecting that. But that's definitely my booth I would dominate at.
We'll make you a special ribbon.
Thank you.
So we will go ahead and move into our cussing and discussing segment. As listeners, you can leave your cussing and discussing entries for us and we will play them on the show. So go to the show notes to find our SpeakPipe or our email address where you can either leave a voice memo or send us an email and we would read it out for you. Katie, what are you cussing and discussing this week?
My own guilt about shit. I am so sick of the guilt I bring on myself that like, if I'm going to feel guilty about shit, I should at least give other people the pleasure of getting to think that I'm terrible about something before I feel bad about it. Because there's so many things that I'm like, oh, I'm being so selfish for doing this. Everyone's going to think that I'm so selfish or so self-centered. I'm like, if they think that, they've never said it. I don't have any evidence that they actually even think that. And if they do think that, that's on them. If it's something that I would never judge somebody else for doing, why do I think I am so special that I should be able to not ever get sick or take a vacation or have a hobby like, I don't know, doing a podcast that's just because I am a human and I can fucking do what I want because I'm a grown-ass adult. And realizing... because years of therapy, that perfectionism is a really self-centered thing about, you know, I am special enough that I should be able to be perfect. Not you guys, because you're not that.
We're right. Actually mortals.
Yes. I am special. Damn it. I should never need anything for myself because I am too good for that.
Yeah,
we're all done.
That's what I'm cussing sure. and discussing today. Fuck that Got noise. It. If somebody wants to judge me, they can go right ahead. I don't need to do it myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're, yeah, like you said, you're the one who's actually judging yourself, and most
well,
likely nobody else
do
is.
It right, Arlene? Nobody yeah, else is going to judge me harshly enough, damn it.
Yeah, yeah, they're gonna let you off on some
Yeah,
of
what
your...
if they just let me get away with it? Yeah. Faith, what do you have to cuss and discuss today?
Oh, I think mine would be empowerment. I hate that I don't empower myself enough. And like you said, like, everyone lets me get away with shit. And I'm like, no, fucking kick me in the ass. Give me some, like, not just, you can do it. No, Faith, you fucking suck ass. Get your shit together, empower yourself, and put yourself out there. Because... it's ironic how much women, I find, moms in particular, we don't empower ourselves. We'll empower every mom out there. But when it comes to ourselves, we're like, oh, sorry, you're tapped out now. Like, sucks. Just go cry in the corner, okay? Figure it out. Bye. And I wish I could just be more empowering of myself.
I do wonder
yeah,
what it would be like if we...
Yeah, nodding again.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we talk to ourselves the way that we talk to our friends and our children, but our daughters especially, because if I handled my own self-doubt, the way I handle my 6-year-old daughters, life would be different. Because she's fucking beast mode 24/7. And, you know, it... Yeah. If we talk to ourselves the way we talk to the people we love, things would be a lot different.
Right?
And why the fuck do we not love ourselves as much as we love other people?
Right.
Okay, well, if you need more therapy, you're going to have to get it another time. Arlene, what do you have to cuss and discuss today?
I was thinking the guilt too. I mean, like, it's just like that circular, we're all going around it again, but I mean, yeah, the things that I think I should feel guilty for, and yet if I really break them down, it's like, why do you think that that's a thing you need to do, or why do you think that's important, and is it really important, or has this just been a story that you've been telling yourself, like, that this is something you should feel bad for? Is it really? Do you care? Is it a value for you? You know, like, really looking at what I'm telling myself I think I should be guilty about, and whether or not those things are actually things that I care about and need to put value on. So, yeah, guilt.
I'm going to say, Arlene, I think it's the fucking patriarchy. Because if okay. we took all the Let's time and that. Energy that we spend feeling bad about shit and applied it towards a growth mindset of improvement and change and enjoyment of our lives and whatever the fuck else we could be doing if we weren't spending all of our time and energy feeling bad about things that aren't actually our fault, the world could be a much better place and a lot more enjoyable. So.
Absolutely.
Back to smashing the patriarchy. All right.
Yes, that'll be our task for tomorrow.
Yes.
Perfect. So thank you so much, Faith, for joining us today. It was so great meeting you. And I'm sure you and Katie will be meeting up somewhere halfway between Iowa and Saskatchewan someday soon. But if people want to connect with you online, if they're Canadian and want to order from you, where should they go?
Stressed Out Mamas on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook, or stressedoutmamas.ca.
And is that mamas with Perfect. Two A's Thank or so an much. O and two M's?
You know, I get asked that question a lot. And I'm just going to preference, I'm blonde. So think what a blonde would think. And it is stressed out, how it's termed, M-A-M-A. Because I am too blonde to think of how I would spell it the other way.
I'm not that even works. Blonde, and that's the way I'd spell it, too. Because it just seems excessive to spell it the other way.
Right. I'd forget it all the time. So, stressed out, M-A-M-A. Nice, simple, and sweet.
Perfect. We'll include that in the show notes, too.
Well, it was great to meet you guys as well. Thank you so much for having me on. I enjoy it, and I can't wait for everyone to hear about
Thanks
it.
So much for coming on, Faith.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to... Thank you for joining us on Barnyard Language. If you enjoy the show, we encourage you to support us by becoming a patron. Go to www.patreon.com/barnyardlanguage to make a small monthly donation to help cover the costs of making the show.
Please rate and review the podcast and follow the show so you never miss an episode.
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok as Barnyard Language, and on Twitter, we are Barnyard Pod. If you want to connect with other farming families, you can join our private Barnyard Language Facebook group.
We are always in search of guests for the podcast. If you or someone you know would like to chat with us, please get in touch. We are a proud member of the Positively Farming Media Podcast Network.